Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Apple has told Europe's second highest court that the EU's order for it to pay €13 billion in back taxes to Ireland defies reality and common sense. The claim was made as the company and Ireland launched a legal challenge against a 2016 ruling seeking to have it annulled. Petula Martin from our business desk has more.
Yes, Mary, this is a case that involves a huge amount of money and very high stakes for Ireland, Apple and the EU. 3 years ago, the European Commission ruled that Ireland had given undue tax benefits worth €13 billion to Apple, which employs 6,000 people here in Ireland. The Commission found that two tax rulings by revenue in 1991 and 2007 had the effect of substantially and artificially lowering the tax paid by the company here for two decades. This was illegal under EU state aid rules because it allowed Apple to pay substantially less tax than other businesses. That's according to the Commission. Apple was ordered to pay €14.2 billion in tax and interest to Ireland. The tech giant and the Irish state both appealed the decision, and arguments were heard from all sides by Europe's second highest court today. Apple told the judges that the ruling defies reality and common sense. The company argued that activities of two Apple subsidiaries in Ireland simply couldn't be responsible for generating almost all of Apple's profits outside the Americas. The Irish state is represented by senior counsel Paul Gallagher, who told the court that the Commission's decision was fundamentally flawed. He said Ireland had been the subject of entirely unjustified criticism and that the Apple tax case was due to a mismatch between the Irish and US tax systems. The court is not expected to give its decision for a number of months, and an appeal to the EU Court of Justice is likely, which means a final judgment could take several years. The tax director at the OECD, Pascal Saint-Amand, is in Dublin today for the PwC Irish Times Tax Summit. He's trying to modernise the international corporate tax system and hopes to reach agreement next year. For a small open economy like Ireland that's dependent on multinationals, we could see a significant decrease in the inflow of corporate tax as a result.
While if there is an agreed way forward by reallocating some taxing right to the market, maybe immediately you would lose some revenue, but you would still be part of an international community with some kind of police rules that all countries abide together. And that, I think, is much better for a country like Ireland, which is why Ireland is engaging very constructively in our conversation.
There is concern in this country about the possibility of a minimum corporate tax rate. Mr. Saint-Amand said a minimum rate would protect the overall tax base.
We have what we call Pillar 2, which is this work stream at the OECD to try to get countries to agree a common set of rules on a global minimum tax, which again is not about infringing on tax sovereignties of countries, but protecting the tax base in a way which would not harm business, which would not increase the cost of compliance, but which would ensure that profits cannot fully escape taxation anywhere.
Pascal Saint-Amand, tax director at the OECD in Dublin today. Mary.
Petula, thank you very much. It's 5 to 7, and finally this evening, Bartra Capital has been refused planning permission for a 7-storey, 102-bed space build-to-rent shared living residential development in Rathmines in Dublin. It was refused planning permission after the Dublin City Council planner in the case found it objectionable, the level of shared facilities on each floor for future occupants. For more on this, I'm joined from our Dáil studio now by Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Ón Oibrín. Ón Oibrín, it's not the first development that Bartra, this first development of this type that Bartra has applied for planning permission for and been refused.
No, and the worrying thing is Bartra is a very large and experienced developer, and the ministerial guidelines on co-living in apartments, bad and all as they are in my view, are very, very clear. So it does seem like this could be a deliberate strategy by a developer to even further push down the already weakened standards introduced by Minister Murphy last year. And you need to think about this, like, do we really want people To be living in 12 to 16 meters, square meters of private living space.
12 is the recommended, isn't it?
12 is the recommended for the private living space, but there's also a recommendation then for what additional amount of communal space has to be provided for every additional person.
Tell me about this development, because they received planning permission for a similar type development in Dunleary recently.
My memory, if it's correct, was that they were first refused on not dissimilar grounds for the Dunleary development, then submitted a revised application in line with the ministerial guidelines, and that was then approved. But the difficulty is this. So we're talking about very, very small units with large numbers of people, up to 18, according to this planning application, strangers in many cases sharing communal cooking and leisure facilities, potentially paying €1,300 a month. I mean, this is a bad way to do business. And what I would say is this. The Department of Environment in 2015, on foot of very good expert advice, produced very good quality apartment standards, guidelines which were then adhered to by local authorities. Some local authorities, like Dublin City, even improved those standards. But since last year, Owen Murphy has opened a downward spiral. His ministerial guidelines in 2018 was almost like an invitation to companies like Bartra to push the thing even further.
Bartra would say that they offer... there's a mix of housing now. They're saying they're committed to this co-living alternative. Ireland needs new models of housing. This is what they're saying, to cater for new demographics.
Ireland needs large volumes of good quality, affordable rental and purchase accommodation alongside large volumes of good quality social housing. I have never met anybody, and I would challenge you to meet anybody, who, if they were given a choice of paying €1,300 for 12 to 16 square metres and sharing the kitchen with 18 strangers, or good quality affordable rental accommodation, €700 to €900 a month, which is eminently possible, that they would choose what Bartra is offering. What Bartra wants to do, and look, they're a private company and they're entitled to under law, is max out the profit they can squeeze from these pieces of land. The big problem is government is facilitating it by encouraging them to push down standards. So in some senses, while I welcome the fact that this planning application has been refused, Owen Murphy only has himself to blame. He started this downward trend, and companies like Bartra are going to try and push it even further. We need to go back to the 2015 standards. We need to go back to the idea of good quality, affordable rental purchase accommodation for people who work.
Sorry, Owen, you don't believe this is the end of the Rathmines development, that they will reapply?
On the basis of what Bartra have done elsewhere, I would be absolutely amazed if they didn't submit a new application. And while it may then be in line with Owen Murphy's guidelines, those guidelines in and of themselves are not good.
So fewer units per kitchen, a different shape on the shower unit and toilet and washing basin and so on.
Exactly. But you will still be left with people being asked to pay €1,300 to live in a space that is about the size of a prison cell, just better decorated, better communal facilities, but not really a place that you can call home, that you can socialise, that you can develop. And, you know, the big worry is this. If it is more profitable for developers to use their investment capital in their land to do this kind of development, we will see less investors investing in good quality, affordable rental and purchase homes, or indeed social housing on the public end. And that is bad for everybody.
Owen O'Brien, thank you for joining us this evening to end the programme.